Well, hello, how you doing, everybody? Welcome to the show. Welcome to your Tuesday morning right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along for this 11th day of May, 2021. Gang's all here, JR, Simmer, and Hammer. It's a chilly morning as you get up this morning, just 3 degrees outside. It is going to get a little bit better, though, as the day goes on, and we're in for, like we promised yesterday, better weather starting tomorrow. Today's a bit of a write-off. I'll be quite honest with you, a cloudy day, afternoon showers, 9 degrees today. That'll be the high. But tomorrow, sunny, 16. Thursday, mostly sunny, 21. And then 22 is the forecast high for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So finally back up into the 20s like we were in April. We got an early touch of spring in April, and we all got spoiled and then kind of went away for a little while. And we've been complaining, and it's been cool. And so today's the last cool day, and it warms up again. But as mentioned, chilly this morning, 3 degrees, as we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
You know what, JR? I am surprisingly good. I was wondering how I'd feel on the Tuesday. Sprung out of bed. I know it's early. You don't sound very overly optimistic.
You've got to pace yourself. No. 3 hours and 51 minutes to go, man.
I agree. Okay. But I've already strategically placed a serious nap for this afternoon based on the weather forecast.
Nice.
And yesterday I got home and I'm like, I got all these plans of, well, okay, I'll have a little nap. I'll do some different things here. Ran a few errands, get out for a workout. I'm like, yeah, maybe not today on the workout, a little maintenance day. So I think there'll be back-to-back maintenance days before I really hit the ground running tomorrow.
Hang on, this 8-step plan we heard about yesterday. And it sounds like there's already maybe a couple of them, why do today what you can put off
slogan for life. The beauty of it, though, JR, is that you're able to consider a bath to be a workout.
So okay, gotcha.
That basically, that is able to supplement. I learned that when I traveled to Finland, that basically during the winter time, a lot of Finnish people, you know, and if you're drinking and eating in the long winter and you don't feel like working out, it's super cold, it's dark outside, good old hot sauna, good little wood sauna, and you're good to go. As long as you're sweating out the impurities and just making the body kind of turn over, you're good to go.
The Finns are that's the dry sauna, though, right? With the rocks and the water rocks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the way to do it. Yeah. The Russians and the Finns, everywhere you go, I mean, there's all of those. There's the saunas, and it really is. Got to get the water. You may maybe do a little ice plunge if you're kind of feeling it. Yeah. Jump in the old lake, but no.
Warm.
That's the way to go. That's one thing. If I had the luxury of having a nice big home, I don't want one of those electric ones. That'd be pretty cool. Or even a cottage if you had it. I'm really surprised from a climate standpoint as well that more Canadians maybe at the cottage or more people aren't into it, because certainly climate-wise, we're pretty much the same as Finland and Russia.
I love a good sauna. It's just awesome.
It
just feels like you're just sweating out bad junk out of your body.
Yeah.
Whether you are or not, it's just kind of like bad things are oozing out of my body right now.
Yeah, and I also think from a bonding standpoint, when I was in Russia, there is nothing better than just getting naked with a lot of other grown men and just having a good old sauna.
What?
Yeah, oh yeah, Hammer, for sure.
You know, a naked bond sesh?
Oh yeah.
In the sauna?
No, I was in Belarus, and they have these little cabins, and they said, listen, one of the first things you got to do here, there's a bunch of people here from other countries all around Russia, they're trying to get the world championship, want you to go for the sauna. Nobody else spoke English, so I had to gear down with the whole crew there, and by the end of the day, I think enough vodka, we were all speaking the same language. We were all having a sauna, a cold tub, a little bite to eat, and then had the 70-year-old man, naked with the balls hanging down to the knees. Give me the big good whackage with the leaves on the back.
Excuse me?
What?
What? The good whackage with the leaves?
Well, with the branches, when they go down the back there? You know when you see the sauna?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Okay, sorry. I was still down with the balls, and I was just trying to put everything together.
They were eye level. I looked over, and I was like, I think I got to switch my head and just enjoy the process. I'll pretend it's a fine Russian lady.
It's the one thing I don't miss with kids' swimming lessons is going into the change rooms and having to watch the ones prior getting clothed and the boys telling the boys, eyes up, boys, eyes up. Nothing to see here.
Speaking of surprising nakedness, my wife and I were at a spa once, be several years ago, out in Vancouver Island.
Okay.
And it was a steam, actually.
Yeah.
So, and it was like you walked in, it was like
couldn't see two inches
in front of you, right? Okay, so we go in there, we think we're on our own, right? We're good to go here. Great steam going on, nice, relaxing.
Door opens. Woman just walks in, like, just right down to the...
Howdy doody.
Yeah, exactly. And my wife's like, and, you know, we're of course, I'm like, I'm fine.
Yeah.
But my wife is like, well, and my wife is fine, too.
Yeah,
she's just more shocked than anything,
sure,
right? And this lady doesn't even, well, I couldn't tell you that she didn't bat an eye,
because
I couldn't really see it until she was, like, right in front of me. And then it's like... Good morning.
Yeah.
yeah. Welcome to our steam.
Well, and that's even, you know, I would travel in Russia and you go to the beach there in the Ukraine, everybody's topless. I would look, but it wasn't like it was some big turn on. It was just more, hey, I'm not used to that. And I remember the first time I was in Vienna and walk into the sauna and right at eye level, there's a couple of women there completely naked. I would say probably need a bit of trimmage as well. And I just... You don't know how to react. Like, you know, I'm just not used to it. It wasn't like you're like, you know, a 14-year-old kid where you're all fired up. It just was more like, God, I just, it's just kind of different. That's not what we do in North America.
That include the pits as well? Or
No, I think at that point there was a fair amount of removal, but there could have been, you know, there could be a little bit of...
Needed some manscaping.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Little maintenance.
But you're right, it's still hard not to stare.
Oh, it is. It is hammer.
You gotta
have the sunglasses on, especially at the beach, though. And it just like I said, I think every woman from whatever 20 to 60 had a thong on and just had nothing else on. So certainly some varying reactions, but it was just, hey, you're just kind of looking around. It's just different for us here in North America.
Gotta love them.
Yeah.
What a way to kick off to Tuesday. We're back.
Yeah, we are back.
It's much better conversation than being in a sauna with a bunch of naked Russian men. I preferred the back end of that conversation.
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you, Hammer.
Not even a high towel in that sauna?
No, but honestly, Hammer, like, nobody cared. And honestly, I'm so sincere in that we had so much fun. Like, you're having the old vodka, you're having food, you're so bloody hot to the point there you jump in that cold tub. And yeah, no, honestly, and like I say, there would be a series about it. It's a little almost like a community. There'd be like 10 of these houses, huts that you could end up renting. And God, they had massage people there. No, it was actually, as I said, we're having fun with it. But no, it was really cool. And I'm like I said, I'm surprised from a Canadian side. And we certainly have the Nordique that you can go up to, and they got a hell of a sauna up there. But I'm a little surprised that more people don't have them out at the old cottage. I mean, think of cottage country here, JR, in Ontario, that have those built up in the even the summertime to hop in the lake. It's really, like you said, it's a great experience.
My buddy Derek's got a cottage. He's got a sauna.
Yeah.
And there's somebody kind of in my neighborhood when I'm out walking the dog. There's a I don't know if it's new or but it's almost a sauna, and it looks like one of those ones you could buy at Costco.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Sure.
Like that looks like a giant giant barrel. Right? A sideways barrel.
Oh, yeah. No, big time. Now, the big one is, as I said, if you can heat it with the wood, most of those are the plug-in ones.
Exactly.
But, no, you see those all over. It was really cool. My buddy, Vili Siren, who, you know, Pierre mentions quite a bit, works with Columbus and the Armokeka Line, and he had a little apartment right in Helsinki, JR. And when you would walk in, basically half of the bathroom was a normal bathroom. Then you'd have a shower. At the end of the shower was a two-man sauna. Like, it was, you know, it's that much a feature of life where you just kind of tuck it in. And like you said, there's lots of ones now you can tuck into the old, what?
What are you tucking in?
Tuck in the sauna.
Okay, gotcha. Okay,
yeah, there's enough room for two guys that you don't have to tuck in. Yeah. You're good to go.
Okay, a little hot sauna talk to start the show this morning. Let's take a break. 6:16, let's get the show underway. Shall we? We got lots to get to, including the Montreal Canadiens finally getting that final point they needed to clinch the last playoff spot that was up for grabs going into the final week of the NHL season. So the Habs are in. We'll kind of get you an update on where everybody sits right now as we head into the final days of the season. Still, there's a few playoff series that are now cemented in, and a few that still we need to suss out and get a few more games in before we figure out who is playing whom, including what the matchups will be in the Canadian division. So we'll get you updated on all of that. We'll get you, of course, the latest on the Sens as well. As they flew back from Calgary yesterday. They got their last game of the season coming up tomorrow, so a final practice coming up today. There was a really nice moment last night outside of Brady Tkachuk, Josh Norris, and Timmy Stutzla's house. We'll tell you about it with some neighborhood kids. It was pretty cool. Bit of a viral video that's taking social media by storm this morning. So we'll get you update on all of that, all of the other hockey news as well. The Blue Jays were off yesterday. They're back at it coming up tonight. And the Raptors, speaking of the playoffs, they were officially eliminated last night when the Pacers won their game. So
Raptors won't make the playoffs for the first time since 2013. So we'll get into all of that. We'll have our TSN 1200 Jersey Monday grand prize call. So if you got at least one code word into us yesterday, we could be calling you later on this morning with the good news that you are this week's winner of your very own customized Black Sens home jersey. We'll play our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute with a chance to grab $1,000 in cash just before 8 o'clock. Pierre McGuire will join us. And ahead of the BSens kicking off their final homestand of the season. Tonight we're going to talk some Belleville Senators hockey and some prospects as well with David Foote. Covers the team down in Belleville. He will join us on the show later on this morning as well. So it's busy. We're glad you're with us as we kick off this Tuesday morning with you right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Lots on the go today, including our TSN 1200 $1,000 minute. Hammer, what would you... gone through the questions yet this morning? You looked them over? Caliber? One being super easy, and somebody's winning the grand. 10 being maybe the most difficult ever. No chance.
Now I'm second-guessing myself after yesterday because I thought yesterday was a challenge.
Yesterday we almost gave away $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
What was the one that he missed? He missed the fair... name one of the three teams that's clinched a playoff or a division title.
He went with Florida and it was Carolina.
And it was Carolina. Leafs were kind of the obvious one based on all the talk on the weekend. And what was the other one that Pittsburgh is the other one?
Close was Tortorella, right? He circled back and was able to get the old Tampa Bay Lightning. Yep. Hey, and again, conversation there, a fun one with old Torts. I was trying to keep kind of scanning through yesterday, JR. And my thought is that if the Colorado Avalanche can't elevate this year in the playoffs, they would slide old Torts in for the finishing job. I was just trying to kind of scan through and thought, hey, I look at that franchise, and certainly they position themselves, but I also think they're really at a point here where they need to bring it home, you know, at least get to a final or do something, right? So that was my thought. If it didn't quite work out, then maybe Torts comes in to finish it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I would say that this year is necessarily like the last kind of kick of the can. I feel like their window is open here
for two or three
more years. Yeah, but I don't, you know, like Jared Bednar, he's fairly anonymous coach, right?
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't really come in with a whole lot of pedigree. Not a lot of people knew much about him.
Well, he came in when Patrick Roy quit, right?
Yeah,
it was August 10th when he slid in there. So did they win one round last year and then lose in the second round?
Yes.
They kind of ran out of goaltenders,
they lost in seven games to Dallas in overtime. Remember Mr. Kira Vanta or whatever his name was?
Yeah, that's right. The old Hutch there came in, I think, was playing for them.
So anyway, that's an interesting one to put out there.
Out of these nine questions, I'm giving it a 7 out of 9. I think there's two in there that could be difficult.
Okay. All right.
7 out of 9.
Yeah. And I always formulate the 10th and final question on the morning. So I haven't written a 10th one yet.
Oh, is that what it was?
I'll take one kind of final look through and decide the caliber of the question. Okay. So you think which numbers do you find?
To be quite honest, I think number two.
Number two. Really?
Number two, yes, I do.
That's tricky.
Exactly.
Tricky.
Number two, and I also think number four as well.
Wow.
I think some people might think.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, that's a 50-50 question.
Yeah.
Right? So the tougher ones, I'll go, you know, I'll give you a true false or one or the other option. So anyway, there you go. Something to look forward to. Just before 8 o'clock this morning, your cue to text will come. We'll play TSN 1200's $1,000 minute. Okay, 6:25. Let's take you back. Busy night across the NHL last night. Pile of games. Only two or three really of any importance in terms of the standings, certainly in terms of the Canadian division. The big game was in Montreal last night at the Bell Center between the Habs and the Oilers. Of course, Montreal going in needing 1 point. Just get it to overtime to clinch the final playoff spot and eliminate both Calgary and Vancouver. So at various points, they were down 2-1, tied at 2-2, went down 3-2. So we're midway through the third period. Habs still down 3-2.
Evans curling and leaving it. They're onside this time. Arturi Lehkonen scores! Arturi Lehkonen with a heavy snapshot, and he ties this game at 3.
And very, very, very generous from our friend Dan Robertson of TSN last night.
That's the beauty of radio right there.
Heavy snapshot. Just a horrendous goal on Koskinen. Yeah. Okay, so he's by the boards. He's on the outside of the faceoff circle, and he does snap it, and he beats him short side with just a horrendous goal that gave Montreal the 3-3 tie. From there, it was all like they're just nursing it home like they had a one-goal lead, and Edmonton really didn't look like they cared very much at all.
And at one point, the announcers were talking about Edmonton pulling the goalie, and I don't think realizing the fact, hey, it was a tie game. Why would they pull the goalie? They don't care.
Yeah.
But anyway, Montreal gets it. They end up losing in overtime, too. Of course, Connor McDavid scoring on a breakaway. But they got the point they needed, so Montreal is officially into the playoffs.
Yeah, and you kind of look at it, JR, not Edmonton and Toronto, but certainly a Winnipeg and then to Montreal. And then you just kind of wonder the 25 games in 43 days that I guess technically kicked off 39 days ago. Not a very good hockey team. Looked lifeless at times, thoroughly outplayed. Had it not been for Mr. Koskinen last night, would have won, lost another one. And then you kind of keep going back to, and I know last year was different because we had all the time off. They came in, knocked out Pittsburgh in the play-in. Is there going to be a reset for the Montreal Canadiens? You know, and certainly for myself as a hockey fan, I'm praying, and they do finish off against Winnipeg or host Winnipeg on Friday night here. Man, I just hope it ends up being Leafs-Habs because I feel like based on rivalry, based on the excitement, based on the pressure on the Leafs, that no matter how Montreal finishes off, I still think that'll be a really good series. And as I say, I don't expect a big reset. I don't expect Montreal to win, but I just think based on the hype and excitement, that for me would be must-see TV.
Dominique Ducharme said yesterday that all of Carey Price, Brendan Gallagher, Shea Weber, Philip Deneau, none of them will play in Montreal's final game of the season tomorrow against Edmonton, so they will not be able to suit up until the playoffs, which for the Canadian division likely is not going to begin until sometime early next week, the way that the schedule. So it looks like they'll get them back, but they'll be coming in, all of them coming off, two ways to look at it. A whole bunch of much-needed rest for all of them, or they'll be coming in a little bit rusty.
Yeah, it is hard. You know, hard to kind of wonder how that'll look. And I guess as a Montreal Canadiens fan, your fallback continues to be, if Carey Price, and certainly he had the reset, played very well against Pittsburgh last year. But honestly, the way this season has gone, been up and down, and the way that they're finishing, not a whole lot of hope, but certainly, at least for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I think if they can get past that first round, not that it's smooth sailing, but I do factor that in. I think there's so much pressure, so much focus for Leafs fans that at least making it to the Final Four this year, I think it'll make an interesting first round.
So Montreal with the single point last night moves within one of Winnipeg for third place. Now the Jets lost last night to Vancouver, their ninth loss in 10, so they continue to struggle. Winnipeg has two games left. Montreal has one. Yeah. Winnipeg also owns the tiebreaker if they are tied. So Montreal needs to win the last game they play, which is tomorrow against Edmonton, and they need Winnipeg to lose in regulation both of their games. So in all likelihood, Winnipeg finds a way to get to a point out of the last two games.
Yeah.
And so we'll get Winnipeg-Edmonton would be the matchup. And then, as you said, I think what a lot of people would like to see, Montreal and Toronto in round one. We got a whole pile of, man, we got a lot of Canadian division games that need to be played to fill out the schedule that are just must. What is it, NBC? Is it must watch TV?
Must see TV.
Must not see TV. There's like seven or eight games coming up here before they can start the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, the Winnipeg-Montreal turtle race, okay, that's fine, whatever. But there's a whole, you know, Edmonton plays Montreal tomorrow. Calgary and Vancouver have four more games against each other.
Yeah, you couldn't even get your family to watch that.
Oh, my God. And you know what? You know what they're doing? At least on my app, because the time of the games, time of day, has been listed as TBD forever. Because they've been waiting to determine whether these games would, you know, would
noon tip off.
Well, now they're listed as 1 o'clock.
Really?
1 o'clock in the afternoon on weekdays.
No way.
For these games.
Oh,
now,
man.
I don't know if that's the reality or not. And all I know is this. If I'm stroking the check, if I'm a television executive or a radio executive, I'm not very happy about that.
No.
Because first of all, your listening audience and your viewing audience is small enough to begin with. There's meaningless games, but still, you'd like the games to be at night when most people are watching.
Yeah.
You're paying full freight,
and
you're getting a weekday afternoon game that nobody cares about.
Yeah, and even
I ain't
for
very
my,
happy about that.
And I got to adjust my PVR because that's Bold and the Beautiful, and then all my children. So I guess that'll be off. Am I not right in saying, like, Winnipeg and Montreal play Friday night, do they not, Jer, to finish off the season?
No. Montreal plays Edmonton tomorrow. Winnipeg plays Toronto.
But is there not one more game after that? Okay, My little thing has that the Jets end up playing schedule-wise on the app is wrong. Okay, so it says that they play
West. Well, it's changed a whole bunch of times, okay, right? So if your app hasn't caught up, then.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, no good.
I know
on
Montreal
that,
has one game left, and I know it's against Edmonton tomorrow.
Okay.
So they don't play Winnipeg.
Okay, all right.
So anyway, that's the Canadian division wrap-up, and we'll get to the Sen story in just a second. Couple of important games in the American, amongst the American teams. Probably the biggest one. We don't haven't paid much attention at all to the Western division.
Yeah,
but a great race at the top. Arguably, two best teams in the entire NHL are in the Western Division. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche meeting head-to-head last night in Vegas. Vegas just needed 1 point to clinch the division title and the overall President's Trophy as well. Would have finished with the most points in the NHL. Let's take you to the third period. This game is tied at one.
Intercepted by JT Compher. Leaves it for Timmins. Near side, Newhook. Backhand pass in front. Score! It's in! It's in! Whose is it? It might be JT Compher. Get out the phone and call JT Compher 877 goals now. Operators are standing by and tell them the Avalanche have a 2-1 lead.
Woo! Is that like a heating company?
Are you kidding?
Doesn't that sound like a heating company?
Is that that guy's signature call?
It's the first time I've ever heard it, because usually I go to Mosier.
The TV guy, our friend Mark Mosier.
Yes.
Yeah, Mr. They're pushing it back.
And
yeah,
they didn't know it was conference. I go, I'll go check radio guy, and thank God I did, because my Lord, is that a fantastic call.
One, can you replay that?
Yeah.
1-8, what?
It might be JT Compher. Get out the phone and call JT Compher 877 goals now. Operators are standing by and tell them the Avalanche have a 2-1 lead.
Okay, if somebody out there knows if there's a backstory about JT Compher that I don't know about, or that's this guy, don't know. Mr.
The comfort of it, I'm just tying it into an air conditioning company. That's what they're kind of going with. But and also to that game last night, JR, interesting storyline. You had the Vegas Golden Knights only dressing 10 forwards, 5 defensemen.
15 skaters.
Because of the salary cap, like how that is not, at the same time, just like being over the salary cap. Okay, you get into injuries, you get into COVID, get into circumstances where you can't get guys called up. But for the National Hockey League, there should be a massive, massive penalty when a team can only dress 15 players because of the salary cap. To me, that's circumvention. To me, you're basically over it. You should be forced to dress the 18, and if that takes you over by a certain amount, then hey, you should be penalized for that. I think that's another loophole right there. That's a bad look for the National Hockey League. Like, imagine in other sports, you get to the National Football League and say, got to dress 5 or 6 less players here because we can't fit them onto the roster. Or hey, and in an actual playing motion, you imagine in the National. No, I shouldn't say that. They're playing 5-on-5, but dressing less players. I think that's a bad look for the National Hockey League.
Aren't they being penalized by playing with 3 less players?
Yeah,
though?
It's a good point. Yeah, you're right. But I also, for a lot of teams and players, if you have 3 lines, and at least you have enough defense. But that's a real good point. But I just feel like, you know what? That's not the spirit of the rule. You know what? If you have a circumstance, but you should be able to manage your cap, and you should be dressing 18 a night. I don't like that personally.
All right, so with the win in regulation for Colorado, they are now within 2 points of Vegas. Vegas has 1 game left. Colorado has 2 games left. The Avalanche, though, their last 2 games are against L.A. If they win both of those games, they will end, even if Vegas wins their game, Colorado gets it in case of a tie. So they would finish first in the division and get the President's Trophy as well, by the way, for most points in the NHL. That would also get them a first-round matchup. Whoever wins the division plays St. Louis in the first round. The second-place team will play a very underrated Minnesota Wild team. I don't think, if you haven't looked at your standings very often, the Minnesota Wild have had an outstanding season. Very under the radar this year, because everybody thinks of Minnesota Wild, they think of Jacques Lemaire, they think boring. And man, since Kaprizov has gone in there, it's like they've totally remade the team. Dean Evason is the coach, which a lot of people don't know. A lot of people suggesting he should be up for coach of the year. He's done a great job. Minnesota is going to be a tough out for whichever of Vegas or Colorado ends up playing them in the first round.
Yeah, no, JR, and even when Billy Guerin went in, you looked at some of the heavy lifting there up against the salary cap, crazy contracts. I would say in the West, easily for me, Minnesota the biggest surprise, and in the East would be the Florida Panthers. I just didn't look at either roster coming into the year, and I thought both of them were actually a hot mess, so you're absolutely right. A big difference. I guess St. Louis, some pedigree left over from winning the Stanley Cup, but overall, with the losses of Pietrangelo and kind of going going. Bo Meester up and down the roster there. Yeah, that just hasn't been the same club, and they're just kind of crawling into that final spot. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how Minnesota is, and I think we all hope for a second round. A little Colorado-Vegas. Don't watch much Western TV as far as American hockey teams, but come playoff time, I'd end up watching that.
Our last stop amongst the many games of last night, the other game of importance, somewhat, was between Boston and the New Jersey Devils, right? Last night? Anyway, let's take it overtime. This game is tied at two.
Krejci to Hall. Powers pass to Zekas. Closes and scores! Taylor Hall! Perhaps we'll see the Islanders in the playoffs. But the Bruins finished their home regular season on a brilliant game-winning goal.
Sorry, I think I said the Devils or the Islanders they were playing last night. That's why the game was important, because whoever won that game would go into third place in the division. But Taylor Hall with the game winner. And, man, he's gone to Boston. Everybody said... Bruins got a good deal there. They didn't give up a first-round draft pick. You watch Taylor Hall once he goes there and the pressure's off him individually. He has 8 goals and 14 points in the 16 games since he's gone to Boston. Settled in beautifully on the second line with Craig Smith and David Krejci. And all of a sudden, Boston's got two real good lines. And he got the game winner last night. For the Bruins, they clinched third place.
Yeah, amazing, Jer. And even as simple early on, I haven't followed it kind of time off, but I know they were talking about Mr. Riley, how well he played. But I was one of the people looking at Taylor Hall, and hey, full marks to the Boston Bruins. I'm kind of thinking, where's the headspace of this guy? Where is he at? One thing history has told us, and I'll go back to Mr. O'Reilly when he left and went to St. Louis, overall, just feels like a relief to get out of Buffalo. I didn't see this with Taylor Hall, but to your point, he fits in. And when you watch that rush yesterday, first of all, like vintage Taylor Hall, the speed off the wing, does a lot of stuff on his own. But I'm just looking at that and thinking, like, doesn't that equate exactly into where you could get a kind of a power forward hot for the playoffs, right? Like, like coming off the wing, doing all the things. No, hey, it's been a real nice pit. And I don't know if you saw the little clip there. It was funny earlier in the game. Komarov had come over and barely nudged Pasternak, and Pasternak dropped. There was a big penalty and went into a crazy Jack Edwards sequence about how he was trying to hurt him, and they end up scoring on the power play. And, you know, it was somewhat fun, but no, hey, it's a real good look for the Boston Bruins. And he has slid right in there. And yeah, I'm kind of excited to see that division. Outside of the Canadian division, you know, some of those matchups from a Boston perspective, and have to get our good friend Bruce Cassidy on before they kick off the playoffs. Last year we were a good luck charm for them.
That's right.
Or 2 years ago,
they will kick it off on Saturday, by the way. The NHL has announced that the playoffs will begin for at least some of the American-based teams on Saturday, and one of the matchups, in fact, the only one's been announced so far, is Boston versus Washington. Yeah. So that's a 7 o'clock game on Saturday to start the Stanley Cup playoffs. Boston versus Washington. The other matchup in that division will be the Islanders versus Pittsburgh. Penguins, by the way, took 6 of the 8 games in the regular season between the two, but the Islanders, man, they're going to be tough.
Yeah,
they're always
sure.
Pittsburgh's playing great hockey, don't get me wrong, but the Islanders can shut her down like nobody's business. So I think both of those series are delicious.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And from a Pittsburgh, I mentioned Minnesota and Florida, another one kind of full marks. Some changes. Carter with the 4 goals last week, overall has been better. I get a real feeling, though, based on what had happened with Tom Wilson and the New York Rangers, JR, the way the Boston Bruins present themselves, I think we're going to see some old school hockey there come playoff time, at least early on, where I think Boston's going to try to negate Mr. Wilson. Mr. Wilson's going to get after it, and I think that'll be a real fun series, and I think it'll be old school nasty there when Boston and Washington get together.
I got a text here at 12-1200. Hey, boys, I listen to a lot of Avalanche games on the radio and on the Altitude Network, and the dude's name is Connor McGahee, and he's a blast. Okay. He got his... the Moose's loose call for Mikko Rantanen's goals, the all hail Kale call for Makar's goals, but I haven't quite figured out his "ladies and gentlemen, my name is Jonas" call when Donskoy
scores. So
okay, so there's another Scooby-Doo mystery for us.
Yeah, you know what? And hey, you know what? When you break in and initially hearing some of this stuff, JR, kind of takes me back to Mike Lang with the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? Like when you first hear it, you're kind of like, what? Scratch my back with a hacksaw? I don't think that's very comfortable or very proper, but hey, you know what I mean? Hey, you're trying to make your own niche for it, so good for him.
There you go. All right, 641. We'll talk more hockey throughout the morning. Love your comments, as always. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN 1200. Of course, Pierre McGuire will join us coming up just after 8 o'clock this morning. When we return, we'll get into the Sen stories. They get back on the practice ice. One final practice today. We'll tell you about the viral videos that are taking Ottawa by storm regarding Timmy Stützle and some neighborhood kids that went over to his house last night. Real fun story there. So we'll get into that. And we'll set up tonight's Belleville Senators game as well. We'll have for you here on TSN 1200. The B-Sens will kick off the final homestand of the season. We'll get into all of that when we come back here on this Tuesday morning. We're glad you're with us on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 646. We'll get to all the Jack Eichel stuff coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. That's unbelievable, really, what went down yesterday. It's not shocking, but at the same time, to actually hear it out of his mouth. Anyway, we'll get to that after 7 o'clock. Sens had flew back from Calgary yesterday and back on the practice ice today. One final practice before the last game of the season coming up tomorrow night versus the Toronto Maple Leafs. Again, 8 o'clock will be the start of the game coming up tomorrow night, Ottawa versus Toronto, and then the Sens will be done for the year. A few of them will head on to the World Hockey Championships. We'll get to probably a read on that, I would think, by the end of the week. The Worlds typically don't begin in a regular hockey season until about a month after the regular season ends. They actually begin a week from Friday. So Roberto Luongo is working the phones hard because a lot of guys, I think, are saying no. And we're you know, some teams have been eliminated already, but many teams are just getting eliminated within the last day or two. So a lot of guys having to make some pretty quick decisions, and he's having to move on to plan B, C, D, E, and F in a lot of cases. So we'll get word on which of the Sens. Looks like Connor Brown is going to go. Word is that Nick Paul has been asked. Drake Batherson will be an interesting one. Brady Tkachuk pretty much said without saying it on Friday that he's not going to go for Team USA because his contract is up and just too big a risk. Yeah, Drake Batherson, same boat. Be interesting to see. Have not heard from him one way or the other as to whether he would decline a Team Canada invitation.
Yeah, that's a tough one, a decision for Drake Batherson, JR, because I'd kind of point it and say, I understand there's risk, but there's risk playing in the National Hockey League. You could finish off. I know insurance and other things, but be quite honest with you, if I was Drake Batherson's camp, I would recommend he end up going. Also interesting that Mr. Capuano is going to be the coach, so how does that work as far as some of the American players? And I'll say for the World Championships this year, JR, you know, a lot of moving parts with COVID, everything else. But if I'm a player and it's the 11th of May, and depending where I'm at physically, I don't mind that it starts on the 21st, because sometimes you do finish the season, as you said, you take a little time off, you go into a training camp. I think for a year like this, fast and furious, you're wrapped up by early May. So, you know, that may be favorable. And if I'm Roberto Luongo, I get on the horn with the players. You know, I'm just saying, I understand you don't want to go, but I got to be honest with you. Doug Armstrong's listening to the phone call right now, and I can pretty much consider your chance to play on the Olympic team is done. You better get on that plane and get over. So, like I said, it's going to be and Team USA historically, it's gotten better. But as you said, for the North American based teams, it's going to be a lot of recruiting and a lot of guys just saying, you know what, the world right now and the grind that I've just gone through, I don't want to be. And I think even the fact that if you haven't been to Latvia, you kind of think, kind of going into Russia, which you're not. But for a lot of guys, will be just like, not going to take a pass this year.
Well, and I don't know where they're at with the World Hockey Championships as far as health and safety protocols. I'm guessing they're going to be somewhat similar to what these guys have gone through, and maybe they're just so used to it now they don't care anymore. But to go through, you know, another month of that for some guys is like, forget it. If I got another one of these sticks shoved up my nose
Day. Yeah, I know, you're right. And also when you go to Latvia, you know, you'd kind of do a little look of where the country's at, JR. But anyone that goes to the World Championship will kind of tell you, even in normal times, you're just kind of at the hotel, right? Like, not that you can't go walk around, not that it's not a great experience, but for a lot of the guys, that's just what it is. I mean, either you're playing or you're practicing, and most of the time you're just hunkered down in the hotel. So for other guys, you're probably right. Hey, you know what? I'm going to get home. We're wherever home is, going to set up shop here, going to get out and play a little golf, and I'm going to start working out here and just try to get life back to normal, especially for a lot of the American-based players.
We'll keep our eye on the Sens in terms of call-ups, et cetera, and movement on the roster. It's become, like all teams, pretty much a daily thing where guys get moved onto the taxi squad so they can save a day's pay and all that. So guys get moved up and down. So difficult to get a read on what the lineup for tomorrow night for the final game will be like. DJ Smith said last week that if Matt Murray is healthy enough and can practice today, he would like to put him into the game tomorrow night. So that would be what the goaltending situation, how the goaltending situation will suss itself out. I wonder if a guy like Jonathan Aspero, who was a free agent defenseman they signed out of the Quebec League, who played last year in Belleville and has played most of this year in Belleville, I wonder if he gets a look for just one game as a bit of a reward. Ole Alsing has come in and he's been fine. He's been okay. But I wonder if they'll give Aspero potentially a game. He's on the taxi squad right now. And this guy's not on the taxi squad, but maybe the biggest question of all, highly debated here in Ottawa for a lot of this year, but since he's come back to play, what goes on with Logan Brown? Does Logan Brown play in the game tonight for Belleville and then get called up to get in one game for Ottawa tomorrow night? What would you do if you were the Sens?
Here's what I want to be very clear of, JR. The game I watched would have been basically 10 days ago. They played against the Marlies. It was on TV. It was 2 in the afternoon. My scouting report on Logan Brown for that particular game was, please do not recall this player. Please fast forward to training camp next year. He was so slow in that game. Now, that's 10 days ago, so that's a big difference. I haven't watched since, so I'm only given
They've
that.
They've only had one game since then.
Okay, well, he was just no strength on the puck, no pace. A mega, mega turnover machine. And I'm not using this as a negative, only that he's missed so much time that when I watch that game, that would be a disservice to the player and everybody else to even put him in. But if something's changed, you know, I mean, look at Bernard Docker from game to game. So that's my scouting report from the Saturday. If I'm the Ottawa Senators personally, how do I handle this? Unfortunately, this is another write-off season. I know he's put up some points recently. Basically say, hey, listen, you had another season of injury. I'm not cutting you loose. I'm not trading you off for 10 cents on the dollar. Let's have another summer here. It's not easy. You know, people might get a bit upset and, you know, the Brown camp might say, want to move on. I'm just holding on to the asset. We're going to have another summer here. We're going to get back to a regular training camp next year and let's give it another go. That's the way I would personally handle it. But if something's changed between now and, you know, two Saturdays ago, that's fine. But that game I watched, JR, he's not even close to playing in the National Hockey League.
He did get a goal in the game they played this past weekend in the win over Laval. And he is essentially, I think over the last five or six games, he's put up about a point a game.
So there has
been a little bit of production there. And even that part was, when he first came back, wasn't even evident. So that's you know, that's his calling card. He's got to provide offense. It's the only reason he's playing. He's not like he's an all-star caliber checker or anything
that. Exactly.
But I think it's a healthy debate. And again, the part that we don't know is what promises, if any, were made at any point during the season. At the start of the season, while he was injured, as an incentive to come back. Pierre Dorion was on the station, and I don't remember if it was you know, the last time or two times ago, and was asked and essentially said at that point, and I think that was when Logan Brown was just getting ready to come back and play, was, we'll get Logan Brown in some games at the end of the season, or words to that effect.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, things have changed. He hasn't you know, quite hit, you know, hit the ice running, as it were. It's been slow. And as you said, maybe even up to two games ago, does not look like the pace is there. So is it, should it be a meritocracy? Should Logan Brown be like everybody else? You get to play because you've earned the right. Or is he, as a, still has a first round pedigree, Pierre Dorion's first ever draft pick when he became general manager, all that other stuff. Does the GM say to the coach, I want to give this guy one game, even if it serves as an incentive for this guy to go into the offseason, put in the work, and go into next season, you know, potentially as a guy you can put into the lineup.
Yeah, no, for sure. And as you said, JR, the conversations I would feel as an experienced guy and Pierre Dorion on the development side, hey, I think everybody, I mean, Mr. Mann must have got sick of asking, hey, what's happening with Logan Brown? Every indication was, Logan, get healthy, go down and play well. I think there was a stretch when they were out west there when he was supposed to play, he couldn't because of his back. I think this has been ongoing. And I'll be honest with you, for a player where I would say the most temperature or the most negativity is directed towards in the Sens organization, if your final glimpse is playing against one of the best teams in the National Hockey League, and I don't know what Toronto's doing for a lineup, JR, but from a matchup standpoint, to put him on that spotlight on a Wednesday night from what I saw on that Saturday, I don't think that would leave a very good taste in Sens fans. And not that that matters.
I don't think it's very good anyway at this
point. Well, no, it isn't. But he's
got nothing to lose.
But he's kind of tucked away right now. I would just say from a competitive standpoint, he's not ready to play in the National Hockey League. I would just bypass it and forward to next fall. I don't see any purpose or any reason why he should be in an NHL lineup tomorrow night.
All right. So Simmer is a hard no on our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question for you today. Online at tsn1200.ca, should Logan Brown play in Ottawa's final game tomorrow night? Simple yes or no on that one. You'd like to see Logan Brown get called up to play in the final game. So Simmer's a no. Hammer, where are you?
I'm a no too. It feels like a handout. I don't think he's earned it. He's had some bad luck with the injuries. But you've got to earn your spot. You just can't be handed to you. I mean, look at the Parker Kellys,
game.
The Matthew Pekkas. And then give them one of the games. They've been
okay,
with
put them
Belleville
in too.
The entire season.
Put them in, too.
I'd put Sokolov in.
Let's just
in.
Play Belleville, then? Let's just bring everybody up there. But
Sokolov's a guy, if I was going to look at one guy. And again, I'm not, I guess, a little bit selling tickets. But the excitement and the little bit I put out last week, JR, this feels like Guy Latendresse when he first came to Montreal. And he was a good player before he kind of ate himself out of the league. You know, the season he's had, that's the way I'd fire up the fan base. And that's all based on, but... Like I said, I would steer clear of Mr. Brown, but I give Mr. Sokolov a look for sure.
The interesting thing with Logan Brown is going to be as well, and will be debated up until Ottawa reveals its protection list in the upcoming expansion draft, if he isn't traded by then, is will they use one of their seven forward slots to protect Logan Brown? We went through, you know, there's four for sures for Ottawa in Brady Tkachuk, Drake Batherson, Connor Brown, and Nick Paul. Those are four for sures. Yeah. Again, there are some guys they don't have to protect, like Josh Norris. They don't have to protect him.
Yeah.
Somebody,
yeah.
Hey, where's Norris? No, they don't have to protect him. That's the advantage that Toronto or that Ottawa has. They have a lot of young guys.
Yeah.
So they have a lot of flexibility up front. Yeah. They can protect Logan Brown if they want to. They don't have to if they don't want to either. So that will be one of the interesting ones too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, I'm kind of going back into the old book there and a joke about Ole Kolzig and David Poile holding on to him forever, JR, where Art Breeze, the agent, would call once a week. Hey, David, what are you going to do? You going to trade
Where's
Ole?
Your Art Breeze voice?
Well, yeah. David, it's Art Breeze. What the Morning, David. Morning, Art. I just wanted to call you, and I just got off the phone with Ole. He's ready to make a move. Playing really well. All he wants is an opportunity, and you know, it's hard, and it's not easy in these things. And, you know, the easiest thing for a general manager is just to say, you know what, man, this has been a grind, and the player wants a fresh start. And then there are times for that, and that's more in a lesser player. And I don't know what the discussions were with Lajoie and Yarosh. You know, you get to certain points here, even, you know, when Schlappick ended up going to Europe. But in this particular case, like I said, it's your asset. You put in the time. A lot of this has been injury related. I have no idea where it's going. But I mean, what are you getting right now? A third or fourth round pick? I mean, you're not getting anything that's going to be anything. I would rather give it another summer, roll back into training camp and see where this ends up going. That's the way I would handle it if I was a manager at the Sens.
Yeah, I have no reason for my vote of yes other than I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him out there and I'm not making any judgments if he goes out and has a hat trick or he goes out and absolutely stinks it up or whatever. Okay. I'm not going into the offseason thinking, okay, I know in absolutes what Logan Brown is all about. Okay. I don't, and one game is not going to change that.
Yeah.
I just like to see that guy play tomorrow night. Just see what it's all about. Again, it's a game. It's a nothing game in terms of the standings for both teams. So again, this guy has a lot of pedigree. He's had a lot of racetrack. He's run out of most of it with most of the fans, I think. So I would, no reasoning behind it, and it's not very good meritocracy-wise. I understand all that part of it. I'd like to see him in the lineup tomorrow night. So let us know what you think. Go to our website, tsn1200.ca, our TSN 1200 Tool and Equipment Store web poll question. Should Logan Brown play in Ottawa's final game coming up tomorrow night? All right, 6:59. We'll take a break, get you the latest news from 580 CFRA, run down the scoreboard. The Habs have clinched the final playoff spot that was up for grabs with their loser point last night against Edmonton. When we come back, we'll tell you all about the viral video with Timmy Stutzla and some neighborhood kids that is all over the place on your social media this morning. It's a really, really, really nice moment. So we'll get into all of that in the next half hour. And Jack Eichel, what a circus in Buffalo. And so it continues. We'll hear from Jack Eichel, talk about that as well with you when we return here on this Tuesday morning. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.